Welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you can get a fresh drink for life. This is Tyler Robbins from Calvary Baptist Church, and with me as always is Pastor Tim Robbins, my dad.
How you doing?
And my assistant Levi, my brother.
Hello.
Real quick here, before we get started, I want to go ahead and tell you guys, we recorded just fine last week, and then when we went to go play it back, when it was uploaded to the podcast website, we noticed that my mic was a little low, and I just want to let you guys know we think we have that fixed now. So if you're hearing it right now and it seems a little messed up, I'm sorry. I think we got the issue fixed though. We're working to upgrade the equipment right now. We're actually sitting at my kitchen table. It's where we've been sitting to record all of these, and so we're just kind of looking to upgrade and change our mics here in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a little better quality mics at the church, and these were the old mics. And so now we just bring them to Tyler's house and use them here and do our podcast. But we'd like to just eventually upgrade a little bit more and bring some more of the equipment this way, or at least get it to where we can start recording at the church. But we kind of like the round table setting in sitting at Tyler's house. And
absolutely.
He always provides soda and snacks for us. And, yeah. You know, where else can you go to get free soda and free potato chips, you know? And
complain about the heat.
Absolutely. It's always cold in here.
Yeah, well.
Always cold in here.
Hey, and, my energy bill went down $40 a month, so.
Yeah, well, I'm.
It's worth it to me. So if you noticed the low quality last week, I just want to let you guys know we apologize. We're working to fix that issue. Stay tuned for next week. We haven't done the drawing for the mug yet. We're going to do it all. Entries are now final. We're going to announce the winner next week. So stay tuned. You may have won and don't know yet. So anyway, I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you guys have really enjoyed this journey so far. I know I have. So this week for our podcast, we're wanting to do something a little differently, and maybe we'll do this again next week. It's kind of starting a foundation here of working through what our pastor's been teaching in church about the book of Romans. I know that whenever we've covered this in church, it kind of helps me identify better where I'm feeling in my Christian life, and I feel like this is an area where a lot of people can get easily caught. And so, Pastor, let's go ahead and start building this foundation of what you've been teaching.
Yeah, I think it would be probably a little bit easier for me to just kind of lay out a little bit of foundation and share a few thoughts about this. And then, you know, we can talk about that or answer any questions and things of that nature. And so not really preach a sermon, but basically just kind of lay out for a few minutes here what's important to know. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And so first of all, and one of the things we've been asking is we've been teaching on the New Covenant on Wednesday nights in our church services and really through Romans 6, 7, and 8 in our Sunday school class. We've been teaching through the book of Romans there. And listen, I'm telling you, what I've come to realize in this is in Romans 6, 7, and 8 is that once you get a handle of that really changes your life. Not to be critical of Christians, because I'm one of these who have failed miserably at this, but I think most Christians have come to the realization that their intentions are spiritual, but their actions are carnal. Does
absolutely.
That make sense?
Yeah. And I have to agree with you completely, because I know I've been caught in there before where I try to serve God, but it feels like it goes unfulfilled, or it feels like I just wore myself out spinning my tires.
You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things I want to address is how do I get to a place where these things are spiritual. I remember as a young preacher, and Tyler, you've said this to me, I remember as a young preacher going up to my pastor going, I want that kind of power of God, you know, and I want to have the wisdom you have. And then Tyler, you've turned around and said the same thing to me.
Yep.
And I just laughed to myself because I'm thinking just wasn't even probably about 20 years ago, I was saying the same thing to my pastor, you know, and just see the continual process there. But so what I want to do is I want to teach about that is it's not so much about having who's more spiritual and who's got greater willpower and who's got the better prayer life. It's really about understanding or being enlightened by truth, because the truth is what makes you free.
Absolutely. Throw a quick curveball in here. I know that you kind of want to go this direction, but I just want to ask you this question. Do you think this is why a lot of people who are in the ministry today, not just pastors, do you think this forgetting the simple truth kind of leads to them being burned out and Christians being burned out just with church?
Oh, absolutely. This is the whole reason why I get frustrated, and this is the whole reason why I get discouraged, and this is the whole reason why, you know, I looked up to heaven going, you can just have that church, or you can just have this work, or you can just,
I'm going to go be pagan now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like Peter, I go fishing, you know, and Peter, you know, after Jesus had died, said, well, yeah, it's over with for me. I go fishing now, you know, and that's kind of how I've done. And even knowing what I know, I still find myself being tempted down those same paths. And, you know, one day you read about how I failed miserably, you'll go, well, he still ain't got it yet, you know. Yeah. And even though he taught it, he still ain't got it. And that's the way all of us are. And once you kind of get through these things, you'd understand that. And so basically what I want to do is this, is I want to start off here. And I asked in my Sunday school class, and I asked it again on Wednesday night in church, and I've taught through this, oh, good night, with Bible classes and stuff. I've taught through this so many times in recent weeks, but the questions, I asked three questions. Question number one was this, is what is death? Mm-hmm. What is death? And Levi, you've heard me teach this numerous times. What is death?
Death is separation completed.
Yeah,
at its extremity.
Death is separation. You know, it's your body leaves your soul and your spirit leaves your body, and then your soul and your spirit then separates from the presence of God into damnation. However, though, death is also accomplished through what?
Weakness.
Weakness. That's exactly right. And it's death is weakness at its extremity, or as you said, weakness at its completion.
Yeah, I got it mixed up.
Yeah, you had separation at its completion, but yeah. I knew you meant weakness, yeah. and you're like your daddy. You get tongue-tied a lot.
That's true.
And I preached the entire sermon on Joseph one time when I met Jacob, and I've done that so many times, and yeah. Joshua too. And
I see myself doing that.
Yeah, in the story of my life, son. but then again, I'm also the guy who also knocks over the, what was the stuff, Tyler, the unity sand that you guys had at your wedding?
Yeah, we had I don't even know what you call it. My wife picked it out, but instead of it being candles, where two, where the bride and groom light this big candle with their candles, it's a like the sand where you pour into this giant vase and they mix it all together. Yeah.
I helped it along in the middle of the wedding. I'm doing the wedding to my own son, and then I go to move it, and I dump it, and the sand goes everywhere all over the communion table. And, well, the story of my life. So, but anyway, though, getting back to where we were talking, though, and that's this, is I asked the question here is, what is death? And death is that of separation, but it's accomplished through weakness at its completion, or weakness at its extreme. And just as your body, whenever you go to die, your body gets to a place where it's so weak that it cannot stay alive. And Levi, you've said this before, it's like being on life support. You're at a place where you're so weak that you cannot keep yourself alive. So if you're lucky enough, or maybe you're one of those people who believes that or whatever, and you want to be on life support, my wife does not want to be on life support.
I know.
she just pulled the plug and let her go. I, on the other hand, want to stay alive. I mean, I don't care if you got to keep coming in and feed me or whatever. You know, I'm just the exact opposite. Yeah. But nevertheless, though, you know, some people, they get on life support and they stay alive, but their body's too weak to survive. Okay, but there's a machine that helps keep it alive. And so here's what happens to this is, though, eventually maybe you get in a car accident or something traumatic, brain injury or something of that nature, or maybe it's shot or something, and here's what happens is now that weakness is hastened. Mm-hmm. It's hurried along so quickly sometimes that your life is gone in a matter of half a second or a quarter of a second or a millisecond.
I haven't even thought about it that way,
honestly. Yeah, but it hastens to completion so quickly. However, though, an illness or something like that, it may take over time. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing: as a believer, okay, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says that he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am," he said, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Now, Paul is saying that, hey, I have a body of death. Now, does he mean that your body's going to die or the body's already dead? Well, Paul is certainly alive when he's writing this, and he's not talking about the fact that your body's going to die eventually. What he means is this, is your body is at a place where its weakness is completed spiritually.
Really? See, yeah. I always took it as meaning physical death.
No, he means this. He's saying that you're at a place where spiritually the body is so weak, It cannot ever be alive spiritually. Okay, it's so dead, it's so weak, and therefore you cannot be good. So because you're in, he says, listen, oh wretched man that I am, he says, I am so sinful, I'm so shameful. Matter of fact, he says, the things that I would do, he says, I do not. Mm-hmm. He says, the things that I do not, he says, that I do. And he says, the things I hate, that I do too. So here's what he's saying. I said in my heart, I'm not going to do this, and guess what? I do it. And then I say, bless God, I'm going to do it, and guess what? I don't do it. And so what he's doing is he's teaching that basically, you know, because you're stuck in this body of sin, this body of death, you can't be good. You can't do good things. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about how there's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says there's none that doeth good. And even Isaiah says that our righteousness is but filthy rags inside the Lord. So here's what Paul is saying. He comes to the conclusion, I'm a spiritual person on the inside. Not a spiritual person, but I'm on the inside. I have my body and my soul and my spirit, and I want to please God. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to dwell with God. I don't want to be damned. I don't want to be under this judgment of death. However, though, I have a problem. My spirit, my soul are stuck inside this body that's a body of death. Mm-hmm. It's like being literally chained to the firing, or chained to the pole where the firing squad's fixing to shoot you.
And the body is forever condemned. You can't really redeem your body.
Exactly, correct? Exactly. The Bible says that it'll return back to the clay or the dust it came from. Because mm-hmm. it's just sinful. Once sin entered the world, there's no saving the body. Okay.
So do you think, I know once again that's kind of a curveball, but do you think that these people who claim that they've reached sinless perfection, like, you know, there's some different people out there who believe that if you you work hard enough, you can attain sinless perfection. What do you do with this whole thing about the body dying?
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, heard people say that, and you know, I not to be critical of people, but I'll be honest with you. Whenever somebody says that they've reached sinless perfection, spiritually you have reached sinless perfection, but because you're in the body of death, there's no way you can be sinless. Okay.
Really.
And until you get to a place where you are now being given that of a your old sin nature is completely gone, everything else, all those things are, you know, the flesh is put away, you're still going to make mistakes. And as much as I'd like to be perfect, and as much as I try to tell everybody I'm perfect, the truth is I'm not. You know, I'm going to make mistakes, you're going to make mistakes, and we all know that we make our fair share of them. And but getting back to our original thought, and that's this, and I'm trying to be critical of people, I praise God for the people who study the Bibles and try to learn, and even if they make mistakes or I make mistakes, you know, we're all students here.
Absolutely.
And so nobody's trying to criticize anybody. I'm just telling you, 2 + 2 doesn't equal 5. That's all I'm doing. Okay.
Exactly.
And unless you're a Democrat, no. But anyway, and
stricken from the record.
Yeah, exactly. And but nevertheless, though, getting back to our questions, and that's this: Paul's saying, listen, I've been given this body of death, and what he means is this: is my body is so weak spiritually, it can't please God, and so therefore, he said, who's going to deliver me from it? I cannot be good. As much as I'd like to, I can't do it. There's nothing in me that can be good. As we said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none to do with good. When it says there's none to do with good, that means everybody in the entire world that's ever lived cannot do good. However, though, the very next verse he says, but I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, who is the one who did it for him.
Okay.
And he became righteousness for us, okay?
So you're saying that you cannot physically do good, no matter anything.
Well,
let me clarify. I'm sorry. You're saying that you can't do good at all in any way, shape, or form without the grace of God.
Exactly. Exactly.
You sorry. Can't,
yeah, Jesus said, apart from me, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here. He said, but apart from me, you can't do anything, yeah. You know? And so what I'm trying to say is this is, you know, Paul says, in this passage that he's talking about in Romans, you know, 6 and 7, and I think I'm quoting Romans 7:18 or 7:20 or something like that. But what he's saying is this. He's saying, listen, he's talking about salvation. Who should deliver me from this body of death? I cannot get to heaven on my own. But Jesus came, and of course, he then does that. And so then the second question we ask, and that's this, is we talked about what is death. And then the second question is this: what is the law? And we talked about this last week a little bit. And
I remember we talked a little bit about the law of death last week.
Yep. And so the law is this, is it's something that's so true or been proven over and over and over that it can never be untrue. Okay? And so therefore it can never be untrue. The law of God can never pass away. Okay? And so therefore, a lot of times when we think of the law that Moses was given, think of the word like truth sometimes to kind of relate to that, because that's kind of how they saw it. It's something that was continuously true. Mm-hmm. Okay, today we think of law, we think of something that maybe, you know, that our Congress had passed or something like that. But what it meant was this is something that was found to be or proven to be true or given by God to know to be true, and therefore they had to live by it. They had to be obliged to live by that. Mm-hmm. And so whenever it said things like keep the Sabbath, you know, you couldn't break that. You know, what did you do if you broke it? You'd fail. You know, you'd be in trouble. There's punishment coming. Now, God said this, and the Lord Jesus Christ talked about this. He said that not one jot or tittle of the law would ever pass away. He said heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle would ever pass away.
What's a jot or tittle?
Well, that is kind of, that's good that you asked that. It's really what it means is this is kind of like a apostrophe or a dot of an I or a cross of a T or something like that.
Okay.
He said, listen, the heaven and earth would pass away long before any of the law will ever pass away. So therefore, the law must be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus came to the earth, he said, you think that I come to destroy the law? Because they all thought that he was breaking the law all the time, but he didn't. He said, you think I come to destroy it? He said, I didn't come to destroy it. He said, come to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't not only just fulfill it by being good. He fulfilled it by not only accomplishing all that the law had required of him, but then he accomplished that which the law required of punishment as well.
Hmm.
Okay, so whenever he was on the cross and, you know, he said, you know, matter of fact, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then, you know, he talked about, or talked to the thief on the cross, they shall be with me in paradise. And then he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And, of course, he's quoting the first verse of Psalms 22. So here's what happens. This is, in the garden, he had drank of the cup. And that cup, I believe, was literally the sin of mankind.
Literally?
And the wrath of God.
You said literally?
Literally, yeah. And if not, it certainly was, you know, it was definitely a picture of that. And so he drinks of the cup. He takes of this, so to speak. And I say literally. I mean, he says that this cup's passed before me. But, you know, in my opinion, I think it's literal. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's just figurative. But what we're saying, or what I'm saying is this. The sin of mankind was put upon the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says he became sin for us. What that meant is it got kind of like internalized in him. And then the wrath of God was poured out on him. So therefore, whenever the law says, if you break the law, the Bible says, I set before you blessing and cursing, you break the law, now the punishment of God's got to be poured out. But God knew that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so much didn't want you to go to hell. He didn't want me to go to hell. So he knew that Jesus is greater than the law. Okay, or not greater than the law, because he is the law, but at the same time, though, there's something about him that's greater, which we'll talk about in just a second. So don't
I want to ask a question.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't shut the podcast off just yet, because I'm not, you know, don't call me a heretic. I'm not being that way. I'm gonna explain it in just a moment, okay? But here's what happens, this is he fulfills the law by now suffering the punishment of God and the wrath of God. But because Jesus said this, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the
life.
Okay, there's something greater here. Remember, we said this, that the law couldn't, a law is true all the time, but unless there's a greater law that can kind of supersede that law. Like, for example, the law of gravity is something, you drop something, it falls to the ground, it's going to continue to fall to the ground until it meets something of greater resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when that happens is, for example, say I go to drop this microphone and Levi reaches out and grabs it. He catches it. Now, what did he do? He stopped the law of gravity, although the law of gravity is fulfilled because it fell.
Okay.
The law of God was fulfilled because Jesus was punished for our sins. He kept the law. He accomplished the law. He satisfied the law, the Bible says. He satisfied the law of God. He satisfied the wrath. All the things that are required in the law. So, for example, if the punishment for the law is this, Tyler, you knocked over the Piggly Wiggly, and now you've been found guilty, and you've got to do 20 years hard labor. Okay, which I don't know if they do hard labor these days, but
not in the U.S.
not in the U.S. anymore. But you got to do 20 years for knocking over Piggly Wiggly. Okay, now I know most people in Iowa don't even know what a Piggly Wiggly is, let alone believe that they're really real. But you know, I assure you they're there. And but nevertheless, though, now you got to do 20 years. That's what the law says. It has to be done. Now Jesus comes along and he suffers the punishment for you, and that's death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so he's the one. That's why whenever he's on the cross and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He relates to the fact that you have to be punished. He's relating to the fact that you're under the condemnation of death. Not just you, but me and everybody else that's ever lived.
Do you think that in this situation, because Jesus lived forever, or lived his entire life without ever committing a sin, mm-hmm. and the only sin he had taken upon him was the sin of others, so do you think he was able to not just like stop the law but still fulfill it of death, but he was kind of almost able to change the law of death because of that?
No. The law of death was accomplished. Matter of fact, as he's hanging on the cross, what's he say after I thirst? Then the sixth statement he makes on the cross is, it is finished.
Mm.
Okay? Now, what's finished? Well, the plan of salvation. He had became sin for us. Now, I know some people say, well, I don't think it was internalized, and maybe it wasn't. Don't go out and call me a heretic, whatever. But that's the implication of the word. Okay? It implies that. Maybe I'm wrong. But we can all agree he became sin for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, therefore, now the result is this. Is he conquered the sin? He conquered sin. He conquered the law of sin. He conquered the law of death, and now he himself dies. He gives up. The Bible says, "Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit." He gives up the ghost and dies. But then, what does Jesus do after 3 days? By the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and through the shed blood, he now is resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that? Because the gift of life is greater than death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay?
Yes,
and life is greater than death. Now, that's why we see Romans 6:23, I think, is one of the most important verses of all the plan of salvation. The wages of sin is death. Okay? The fact that sin causes death, and that's why we're under the punishment of death. However, though, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now, here's what happens. This is God comes along and says, here's what we have is this, is we have a law that says you have to be damned, but Jesus dies on the cross and becomes sin for you, conquers that because he is life. Now, with the result, we see the third question we ask, and that's this. What is the law of the Spirit of life? In Romans 8, 1 and 2, he talks about this, and we see that there's no condemnation because why? There's the law of the Spirit of life. Well, what's the law of life? Well, Jesus is life. You understand?
Absolutely.
Okay? He is the life. Now, what kind of life is Jesus? Eternal life. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when we who grow up in the soul-winning environment, we understand the plan of salvation. We know the Romans road. We know how to knock on doors and share the gospel with people. And we use this verse extensively. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about how this is eternal life. It's more than just eternal life, though. It's life. It's every part of life. It's life over all death, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, marital, financial, every death possible, this is life over that death. And so when he gives you life, there is no more death. It's like turning the light on in a dark room. Darkness flees. When you get saved, death flees from you.
Do you think this is why a lot of times you hear lost people talk about how they just kind of feel empty inside or feel like they're unfulfilled? And do you think that's also why Christian people also talk about feeling unfulfilled or empty inside whenever they're living outside the law?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or not the law of death, but the law of life.
Right. Because, you know, people say, well, we're not under the law. You're not under the Old Testament law, but you're under the New Covenant law,
mm-hmm.
and that's the law of the life, okay? We were under the law before. Now, notice Jesus said the truth will make you free. Whereas in the Old Testament, the truth brought death. The Bible says that the law worketh death, okay? However, what is he trying to say? He's trying to help you understand is that this is in the Old Testament under the law, it continuously works death because it works condemnation. It shows you where you sinned. The Bible says it's our schoolmaster. Paul said it's our schoolmaster, our headmaster, where, you know, it teaches us where we've erred. Okay. However, the law of life
kind of helps you consciously see where your failure is at.
Right. The law of life, on the other hand, though, it is nothing but life, and it makes death flee. Okay. Now, there's so much more I want to share about this, so I want to keep going here just for another minute or two, and then we can kind of change gears a moment, okay?
Sure.
But what I'm sharing is basically the introduction to the last, you know, three or four messages I've done on it. So, go ahead.
Quick here, I just want to say, I think that this specifically, I feel like this is kind of the foundation that every Christian really needs to understand, and then all the things we've talked about before with like spiritual warfare and angels and demons, stuff like that. All that's step three, step four, step five.
This is step one. That's exactly right. This is the foundation to it all.
Didn't you say that if a Christian gets what you're teaching right now about salvation, you'd have more knowledge about salvation than 99% of most
Christians? My opinion, I think they'll have not more knowledge about God and salvation, the way of God and spiritual living, than probably 99% of other Christians. I tried to understand this in my 20s, didn't get it. Tried to understand it in my 30s, didn't get it. Tried to understand it in my late 40s now. I'm 48 years old, going to be 49 this year. And I'm finally starting to kind of click for me. And I've been in the ministry for 20-plus years. Let's see, I started preaching my first sermon when I was, what, 21, 22, 23, somewhere in there. I can't remember now. 1993, so I'd have been 22. And I turned 23 in 93, but in October, so I didn't preach in April. So I'd have been about 22 and a half, preached my first sermon. And it's taken me this long to kind of get it. And if I could get it to you guys now, and just, you know, help y'all to really grow, that'd be the key. But getting back to what we're saying here, okay, and that's this: the law of the life, the law of the spirit, supersedes the law of sin. So now here's what happens is God says, this is my salvation. I so love the world. So ever since that point, God has been, or ever since God had promised to deliver in the Garden of Eden, I should say that, ever since God has promised to deliver in the Garden of Eden, ever since that point, God has been trying to introduce the world to his son, because he knew his son's life. And if his son is life and you're under death, then he's the medicine for your death. So, for example, say, Tyler, say you got a disease and the doctor says, there's nothing I can do for you, you're going to die, but there is a cure, I just can't get it for you. But there's a man, say, in India, he has the cure. If you could get him to give it to you, that'd be great. And it just so happens, as you walk out of the doctor's office that day, there comes that man walking. And he says, I heard that you have this sickness. Would you like for me to give you this cure? Well, what would be your response? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not going to die now. Okay, that's what's the wages of sin is death. Everybody's underneath the punishment of spiritual death. We all have spiritual diseases. And I think, to be honest with you, the different kinds of sins are probably a picture of a lot of the different kinds of deaths we have in our society today. You know, some people are addicted to sins that are just slowly destroying them, kind of like a cancer or something like that. Other people, they get so wrapped up in something so quickly, it just quickly destroys them, and kind of like an accident or something. And I think there's a lot of times a picture of that stuff. But nevertheless, though, okay, God knows that that the answer to the things that are working death in your life is his son. He's the answer to everything because he is life. Whatever it is in your life that's messed up, that's death. But Jesus comes and brings life. And so he's trying to introduce the entire world to his son. And so the reason why is he wants to give this life to us. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Now, once you get this life, all right, once you get this, this changes everything.
Gives you a new perspective.
It does. It changes everything. Mm-hmm. And Tyler, how are we doing on time? Do you know? Got plenty of time? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going over? All right. Well, let's go ahead and do this. Let me make another statement or two, and then how about we shut down, and then we pick up next week, and I start talking about the new life we can draw off of, because we get a brand new will, a brand new emotions, and we get a brand new thought life. However, though, this is where Christians tend to go wrong. They get a brand new will, which is this desire to please God, go to church, read their Bibles, be spiritual, do great things, get a hold of God. And you say, well, I don't have that anymore. You've lost your zeal for the Lord. You're backslidden.
Yeah.
Everybody goes through those times. Don't misunderstand. Think, well, not me. Everybody said not me, but it turns out to be me, okay?
Yeah.
And we all go through them. Yeah, we all lose it. However, though, with that being said, is this, is whenever you get saved, you get a brand new will, All right? And this will is this desire to please God, to do God's bidding, to do God's plan for your life. But how you accomplish it is where we tend to go wrong. I think oftentimes we are spiritual in our desire, but carnal in our execution of it, okay? And so next week we'll kind of pick up on that. If that'd be all right?
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
And I'll take more questions then, and we'll expound more on what it means to have this new life and this new life to draw on, and talk more about the process of salvation once you know you're introduced to God's Son. But I want to say this though, okay? If you're out there today and you're listening, God has been trying to introduce His Son to you. Now, you say, well, I got it whenever I got baptized, or whenever I went to church, or I took communion, or I joined the church, or Lord's Supper, or whatever. Listen, that's not what it is. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves. It's a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. So here's what God is doing. Is He's trying to introduce you to His Son, and if you will believe in His Son and put your faith in Him, okay? And we'll talk more about this next week, because we'll talk about how we got saved, and the Bible says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. It's where you come to a place where you begin a relationship with the Lord Jesus. He becomes your God. And, you know, it isn't just praying a prayer. It's where you make the conscious decision that Jesus is your God.
I was going to
say, He's your deliverer.
I was going to say, is that just people out there who are listening that may or may not actually have Jesus as their Savior? But it also goes to the people who are walking outside of God. It's really easy to slip into that trap.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, He can still be our deliverer or our Savior. But at the same time, though, we don't really make Him our God, because we look at other things to be our God. So
I just had this thought. Maybe sometime for a future podcast, we should have where we all share our testimonies of how we got saved and how God changed our lives.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe here after we get through some of this stuff about Romans, and, you know, I'd be glad to do that. I think that'd be a good idea. But real quick here, we're actually going a little over time here, and I appreciate anybody who's able to listen to the end here. I know it ran a little long, but again, I think this is something really important that we need to talk about. Thank you so much for coming in tonight, Pastor.
Absolutely, and I'm sorry again that I went so long.
Oh,
but,
absolutely, no
you
problem.
Know, it's funny that preachers would ever go long. You know, and
who would have thought?
We can tend to be long-winded, that's for sure. So.
And then, of course, I want to thank Levi for coming in.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I just I really hope this has been a blessing to you. I just want to remind you guys to tune in next week, as we'll be talking about the giveaway for the mug and announcing the winner there. If you have any questions, or if you want to talk a little bit more about this Romans thing, if you have any questions about anything you want us to cover on the podcast about it, feel free to write us or email us, call us, text us, hit us up on Twitter, whatever. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you have. Our Twitter handles, of course, mine is at Tyler Robbins, TylerRobbinz. Our Twitter for the church is Calvary Baptist 1. Matter of fact, it's Calvary Baptist. At By the Blood 1. Otherwise, you can email us at fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com. Feel free to comment on the Podbean app. I check in those pretty frequently. Then, of course, you can write us snail mail. Our written address is 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa, 50616. Then real quick here before we leave, I do want to give a shout-out to all of our listeners out there. I see we have people in Canada and Mexico and all over the U.S., but that's just people who are following and downloading. I can't actually see people who are listening. So if you could, at some point this week, just reach out to us on our Twitter handle, at ByTheBlood1, or at mine, Tyler Robbins, TylerRobbinz. We're just trying to get a head count for all the people who are listening. Whether you're downloading, whether you're just listening, whether you're a follower, we'd be glad to hear from you. We just want to see how well the Lord has been able to use us so far. I just want to say thank you once again for everybody who's listening, and remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.